Machshirin Perek Shishi, Mishnah Aleph. Hama'ale perotav lagag mipnei akinima. So if people try to protect their tfua, they take it up to the roof, because if they leave it down on the ground, the worms are going to get it. And you bring it up to the roof to protect it. You certainly don't want it to get wet on the roof. And now, Tal, remember that Tal was one of the Shiva Mashkin. Yoralem Tal, the dew fell on it. It doesn't matter, because even though Tal is a machshir, but there's no lerotzon. Why would you want it to get wet? But in it kaf, in the kaf, if you wanted it to actually get a little bit of Tal on it to maintain its freshness, then it would be bechiyutan. So it would depend on your machshav. Suppose the person who brought it up to the roof did not have da'at. So he was a cheresh, he was a shoteh, he was a katan. So then, even if he had in mind that he would like it to remain fresh by getting some tal on it, it wouldn't make any difference. Because in the etzem, bringing it up to the roof, is there an obvious intent to get wet? No. Maybe you just brought it up to protect it from the knima, make sure it doesn't get wormy. And the guy tells you, but I had in mind that it should get wet. It doesn't matter, because the person that's saying that does not have da'at, and therefore he cannot be koveya the din to be a machshir of terms of ki yitein dum yelechiyutan. But that's because that even though afa pishechishev shir eid aleim atal, einan bechiyutan. Why is that? Because this is the klal that we've spoken about a number of times. A katan, a cheresh, a shayta, and a katan, do have a maisa. So if it's obvious from what they do that the doing of that was for this purpose, that's not called machshava anymore. Remember what da'at is. Da'at is the way in which an abstract thought in the mind gets connected to an action that's done, right? Now, that's the whole idea of da'at as opposed to chokhmah and so on. That's why you need to reach puberty. You need to be connected on that level to what you do. But they don't have that. But what about if the maisa itself is by definition connected, because this is the only meaning of such a maisa? So let's say that they would do a shchita by taking something midoraim, moving it to the Yerach HaMizbeach Tzafona. That would be a machshava. It would not be a misasek. It would be a machshava for shchita skachim, and so on. But in this case, since it's possible to explain away the bringing it up to the roof to be purely in terms of saving it from getting wormy, there's no maisa that is mochia. And therefore, yesh le maaseh. But in this case, you'd be telling me, well, they're telling you that they did it because they want the tal. No. Ein lehem machshava. Mishnah, perek vav machshirin, Mishnah beit. So let's say you bring up things to the roof and you want them to actually remain fresh. You want them to have nice air circulation. Ama'aleh ta'agudot. So let's say you bring up bundles. You know, so you have a bundle of carrots or whatever. Or atakziot, which are the dried figs. Or you bring up some garlic up to the roof. B'shvil she'yamtinu, you want them to prevent them from spoiling quickly. If you keep them downstairs in the kitchen, they're not going to get any fresh air. They're going to get all wrecked very quickly. So then if there's tal that falls on them, einan b'chiyutan, because you don't want them to be wet, you just want them to be fresh. But suppose you go to Machane Yehuda. Anything that you go to Machane Yehuda on, and it's all out there, it's all tame. Why? Because you really think those veggies are fresh? The guy comes out every hour, and he sprays them with a little water sprayer to make them look fresh, which means that they're now mukshir l'kabel tuma. Now you've got the whole world walking by and touching those peiros. Believe me, they're tamei as could be. So actually, it's interesting. The supermarkets in the U.S. have an automatic sprinkler system on all of their veggie displays that sprinkles them briefly every hour to make them look fresh. So yes, that's the ultimate Malchut Yehuda. So if you're buying things in a merchandiser, a vegetable merchant, for sure, it's Moshe LeKabel Tuma. Rabbi Yehuda, he says, it's not true. They don't spray fresh vegetables, lachim. They only spray vegetables that are starting to dry out to make them look fresher. So Rabbi Yehuda Metaher Balachim, if you see that these vegetables just came in and they're fresh, then they're not assumed to be lerutz in the water. And even though people are touching them and there's water on them from the field, that's not going to be marching them lekabel tuma. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, look, you naive people, buying your beautiful, freshly washed tomatoes, thinking that, yes, this is all obviously free of bacteria, and it's all probably cleaned automatically. Let me tell you what's really going on. The guy goes around his vegetable display, and he sees a spot of dirt on a tomato. Guess what he does? Puts his finger in his mouth, takes a little saliva, and washes it off. So if you think you're getting clean vegetables, and you think you're getting untouched by human hands, man, you might as well eat it on an airplane. It is as filthy as you can possibly find. And therefore, v'chim ibnai matimu, you know why they said that even the fresh vegetables are tomei? Not because of the spraying. It's mipnei mashka peh. It's because the guy uses his saliva to clean off something that he sees on a tomato. Now, kol hakimachim v'asilatot shel beit hashvakim tomeim. If you've got a commercial place that is selling flour, or it's selling solet, which is even finer, so then for sure, all of that was moshe lekabel tuma, because in order to grind it properly, they actually soak it to let the bran come off completely so they can have what they think is nice white flour to kill all of the customers. And therefore, for sure, it's tamei because it's all moshe lekabel tuma. People go in there and they touch it and so on. But if somebody is personally selling flour, so he's got like a little, he's got a little plot in his backyard and he's selling it from his own home. It's not a big commercial operation. So people who buy flour there, they're not looking for clean flour. They're looking for healthy flour. So because of that, they don't soak that. And they actually have a lot of the whole wheat. And there's like a lot of pieces of fiber that's in that. And the customer wants that. So therefore, they're not going to be soaked in water. And it's okay. But if you're buying cereal grains that have already been prepared. So that would include chilka, targis, tazji. So those are chilka means it's mechulak into two pieces. Remember, we discussed this in different dinim. Targis is a lotion of tri, so they're split into three pieces. And tazki, they're even broken up into four pieces. And these are the sizes of the little pieces of grain that was in the cereal in those days. So some people would eat chilka sometimes, but all of those, in order to get the grains to swell and split, you have to soak them in water. So there, if you're buying it, even if you're buying it from a guy in his home, they're for sure moshe lekabel tuma. And since people come in here, they look at it, they handle it in order to put it into their packages, they are probably tamei. And therefore, you have to assume, even in a private home, they're tmeim b'chol makom. So your wheatinas or your wheaties, bad news if you're trying to eat the tahara. That's why, you know, the latest post-Mashiach heksher of the Badatz guaranteed to be kosher for ochli tyres. The whole thing has to be sealed out. Don't ask. No wonder it's so expensive and people complain yet. Okay, see you all. Bezrat Hashem. Wonderful, wonderful to be with you. Thank you so much. Kol tov.